Welcome to the Fire Time Podcast, where it's never hot enough, slow is fast, and the way to win is to make it so stupidly easy to buy from you that there's no excuse not to. I'm your host, Tim Reed. And once again, I'm so excited to be here today. Welcome to the Fire Time Podcast. Now, this episode today is a really cool one, and it is with Heather Hockenberry, who is an executive coach and consultant at her family business, Hockenberry Management and Consulting. Now, I met Heather years ago. I mean, I'm guessing like 7-8 years ago when I was teaching out at an HHT summer summit, I think in like 2017 or something like that. And we've stayed in touch over the years. She's written for the Fire Time magazine. And recently she graduated with an MBA and is diving more into coaching and consulting, in particular for small businesses. And so I thought it'd be really cool to have her on the podcast and talk about those things, about how to grow your business intentionally, not on accident, with a purpose and a plan. And there is a lot that we cover in this conversation. So I'm going to jump out of the way so that you can hear it. We'll circle back at the end and I will share some parting thoughts. Joining me from South Central Pennsylvania is a consultant and coach at Hockenberry Management Consulting. I'm here today with Heather Hockenberry. Heather, how you doing?
Hey, Tim. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, thanks for coming on the podcast. I feel like we've been talking about this for a long time, and I'm glad we made it happen.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
Well, so jumping right in, you do a lot of coaching and consulting work with small businesses. I know it's, you know, part of your family business, and actually with businesses in the hearth industry even. But to start the conversation out, I thought this is really interesting. You recently got a master's degree in executive coaching and consulting. And I wanted to start by asking, now that you're through that process, what was the biggest takeaway that you had from the master's program?
Yeah, so what was really neat about the program that I completed was it was not only a way for me to learn new content and put new tools in my tool belt for my work, but also it was a lot of self-reflection. And so, you know, to be someone's coach, you yourself have to be putting in the effort to like be improving yourself and to be growing. And so it was really interesting to kind of add new knowledge, but then also to be working on my own growth and development as a person and as a professional as well.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, you had been working with clients for years before going into this program. And I feel like many people get degrees, you know, very early and very young in life, which can be fine, but oftentimes a degree comes without any real world work experience. You got this degree after years of working with clients. What was the difference between getting this master's now with that experience versus if it would have been before?
Honestly, if I had done this program like right out of my undergrad, I think I would have been thoroughly overwhelmed because it was a lot of information and it was admittedly very deep content that I don't know that I would have been able to handle well at that time. But in having, you know, years of experience and actually having worked with companies and leaders as a consultant and coach, I found that the stuff I was learning in the program, I was able to apply right away. And so it took it out of that theoretical educational aspect and really into that practical, what can we do here to make the situation better?
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. Now, can you talk a little bit to the folks who are listening about what it is that you do? Because again, I think the work that you guys, you know, do with small businesses is pretty cool.
Yeah. So at Hockenberry Management Consulting, what we do, bottom line, is we help leaders and businesses to grow. That's really the heart of everything that we do. So most of that growth is resulted from improved performance. So if the organization is performing well, it will grow. And if the individuals in that company are performing better, then the organization will perform better overall. And so the bottom line of our work is to help leaders and businesses to grow through improving individual and organizational performance. And that can come in a lot of different ways in different parts of the business, but that's really the bottom line of who we are.
Yeah. And so what's that look like specifically for businesses?
Yeah. So we break our service offerings really into four bigger categories, being strategic planning, management consulting, which kind of includes the advisory service in there, executive coaching, and then speaking and training. we get into all of those spaces. The one that has the most depth and really includes the most different kinds of work is the management consulting space, because, yeah, you know, in addition to the advisory element, that can include a variety of assessments, that can include the development of the leadership team, culture change, process improvement, even marketing and sales really fall into that bucket. And so we can get into some of those spaces with our clients.
Sure. You know, as you said that, I'm writing down these categories. One thing I feel like you have to have a pretty good handle of is when you talk to a business, as you've worked with a number of companies, I imagine there's indicators that let you know if a business is healthy or not. What are some of the things that make you feel like this is a healthy business that we're working with?
When we look for clients and we work with folks, we're really looking for people who have a growth mindset. Okay. They are open to understanding that, hey, they might not have all the answers and they may not be doing everything correctly. And so they are open to finding new and better ways of doing things and then applying those things, having the humility to admit that they don't know it all, and yeah, the drive and the discipline to make it happen.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So now one of the things that you talked about with your degree was that it was in both coaching and consulting. And I'd maybe love to talk about the difference between those things, because they are very different.
Yeah. So coaching, at least in the way that I think of it, is really by the standards of the International Coaching Federation, which is a certifying body for coaches. And that's really what I'm working towards. So they really define coaching as a partnership between a coach and a client that is meant to have thought-provoking and creative processes involved that inspire the client to maximize their potential. Essentially, we're designating a space where they can create and develop their personal, professional, business goals, create a plan, and then get after it. This is the focus on the individual. Consulting is similar, but oftentimes it's more organizationally focused. And of course, when you hire a consultant, you're hiring an expert. You're expecting them to know something about the thing that they're consulting on.
Yeah.
Whereas in coaching, a coach is really an expert in the process of human development. They might not know the ins and outs of the thing that you're doing, but they know how to help you as a human accomplish what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. I think for me, there's a mentor I have that's been a coach in my life for a long time, and he knows nothing about the fireplace industry or software. And actually, he's not even a business guy. He's an educator. But what you said, he knows how to develop human beings. And one thing that I'm curious of when it comes to coaching, so many business owners in our industry are already really, really busy. So why is coaching worth it when there's already so many things going on? I think that sometimes people can think, oh, I'm just kind of navel gazing when I do this. Like, what's actually tactile and tangible about this?
So when we think about growth, you know, there's the growth that happens on the journey, but then there's also this growth that happens in reflection. And it's amazing how many people don't actually just stop to think. We just continue to do. And I guarantee that every single person on this planet has something that they want to do, they want to have, or they want to be, that is simply not the case. And we help them with things like that, whether it's an organizational thing that they want to have, do, or be, or an individual thing. And so if we never actually stop and look at that, figure out what it is, dissect it, and figure out a game plan for getting there, it's not happening, right? And so as much as sometimes that pause and that reflection feels like we're not moving, sometimes that's exactly what it takes to jumpstart better movement as we go forward. So whether you think you have the time or not, I would challenge that there's some way that you can really consider where you are and figure out where you want to be and get there more effectively than you might be right now.
That's really good. I was writing this down as you talked that, you know, if we don't stop and think, by default, we just continue to do. And I've heard Alex Judd say this, that experience means nothing, but evaluated experience is everything. And I think that's so true that I'm just thinking about my relationships with my mentors and coaches. And a lot of it is just forcing me to slow down and reflect on the decisions that I made. Why did I make them? Are they leading towards the goals that I have, you know, have, do, be, the person I want to become, the things I want to have, and the accomplishments that I want to do or complete. And it's really hard to do that by yourself, because oftentimes we hold everybody accountable but ourselves. And having someone in your life that can force you to slow down and ask those reflective questions, that's really valuable. I think in our industry, I think there's many business owners that would say, well, coaching might work for people that are electricians, because there's a lot of electrical companies out there. There's a lot of electricians out there. But my business is so unique that it's just impossible for someone to understand and help me get better. Like, what would you say to that?
Yeah, and that's such a fair thing to think, because no matter what we do, we tend to believe that what we do is special. And not to say that it isn't, but I had a friend who always said, you know, there's no new idea under the sun, no new challenge under the sun. And so when we start to think that we are alone, we put ourselves in this isolation. And in business, that can be really hard because, well, I'm just so unique. This is such a unique circumstance. There's no one who can help me. Well, the truth is, that's really the value of bringing in a coach or a consultant into your situation, is to be able to ask you the questions to help you get out of your own thinking and start thinking more strategically around the business. There are certainly uniquenesses within the space, especially with fireplaces and just the seasonality of heating and all of the stuff, right, in the space. There's challenges with seasonality, staffing, you know, product lineup. The list is long, and we certainly know it as we have clients in this space. But everything that we do, at least as consultants, is super applicable to this industry. And so if you're listening to this and think that you're alone, I would hope that this is encouragement that you're not.
Yeah. I mean, I'd imagine you see this too, that, like, I'm sure the fireplace companies that you deal with have very similar issues to other companies in completely different industries. And while maybe the application of their products is different, the issues are often not, right?
So yeah, there are basic business principles that really apply in every single organization, just basic business processes that are happening, whether you realize it or not. We like to think of it as by design or by default, right? Either you're putting intention to it or it's just kind of happening, but it's still there because it's part of the business. And so those basic principles apply in companies across any industry, any type of organization, even in the nonprofit world. And when we start looking at some of those sorts of organizations as well.
Yeah, I believe it. I've heard it as a strategy for parenting and for being a competent adult and human being. But I've heard, you know, when kids are young, the most important thing they can understand is that they are unique and they are special. And the older that you get, the most important thing you can understand is that you are not different and you are not special. And I think that there is a lot of wisdom in that. And it doesn't mean that we have no value, we have no dignity, but I think that oftentimes, yeah, we think our business is just, there's nothing like it. I am the only one that is doing anything like this. And so therefore no one can help me, no one can understand me. And I think the reality is that that's just not true. And while there are unique things about us and about our businesses, I think that we fall into much broader categories. And the quicker we can realize that, the sooner we can get help and start getting better.
Yeah. And you know what, Tim, even just to challenge that a little bit, because it's fun to think differently.
Yeah.
I think there's an argument to say that we are unique and that we are special, but it's when we start to think that we are alone because of that.
Oh, that's, yeah, there you go.
That starts to get dangerous, because we start to think, well, no one understands, no one gets where I'm at, and so why would I even ask for help? No one gets it. That's where it starts to get a little challenging. I mean, you could be an Eskimo selling ice cubes in Antarctica, right? And like be the only person on the planet doing that. And you know, still, if it's a business, there are basic business principles that apply in that situation.
Yes.
And so when we start to think that we're alone, that's where it gets hard. what we do kind of in our company, just as an example to help alleviate some of that frustration is, you know, our approach is customized every time that we work with a client. So it's fair. There are differences and uniquenesses with every company. And so we'll customize around those. But at the heart of it, the core of the operation of the business, it's a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really, really good. I love that you can be unique. Your business can be totally unique, but yet there will still be common principles or laws of business that apply that are not unique to you. Okay. To wrap this part of the conversation up, I want to put you on the spot here as we're talking about consulting and reflection. If someone's listening to this and is just running a million miles an hour in every direction, they've never spent time thinking or reflecting about their experiences, what are a couple of questions that would be worth thinking about to try to reveal some things?
Yeah, so I'm going to use an analogy to answer this, and we'll see if it comes together. You know, really, when we think about it, we as a people and as a culture spend more time planning a family vacation than we do planning for the future of our business.
Hmm.
If we actually pause and think about it, you map out where are you going to go? What sites are you going to see? What foods are you going to eat? In the car, who's in charge of the music? Who's bringing the snacks? Right? You have everything figured out, mapped out from the moment you leave the driveway. But for our businesses, we often just kind of hop in the car and start driving around. And while that can make for a very fun vacation, why would we leave the future of our business up to chance? So when we think about like, okay, what are some of the things I can just start to think about? Well, think of it like a vacation. Where are you trying to get to? What is the destination for your business? Is there a specific way you'd like to get there? You know, do you want to go through the mountain, the highway? Do you want to get there quickly?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy the ride? Who are some of the people who you can bring in to your car to help make the journey more fun?
Yeah.
And to actually add some value along the way? These are the kinds of things, just in an analogy, to start to think about where are we going? What's the best way to get there? And how do we move forward? How do we get the car going so we're not just driving around aimlessly? So those are some of the things that come to mind for me when I think about like what are some of the questions to start asking. It's really understanding where you are right now,
yeah,
where you want to be, and how do we best get there?
Yeah, that's great. And this kind of shifts a little bit into the consulting side. So I'd love to talk about strategic planning in particular, because I know this is something that you do a lot. I really believe in this. I think that the majority of companies in our industry don't have a strategic plan, and they're kind of running around like chickens with their head cut off. And I've been there. I know what that's like. I would say there's a small minority that does strategic planning, but has a really hard time holding it accountable. And then there's an even smaller minority that does strategic planning and does hold it accountable. And maybe we can just start broadly with why is strategic planning so important? And can you define, you know, what that is? I know the analogy of the road trip is perfect, but can you elaborate on that just a little bit more?
Yeah, I think, you know, beyond that analogy of thinking about where are you going and how do you want to get there, really that is what a strategic plan is. It gives you a map. We go back to the thinking of whether we're doing things by design or by default, right? We can be shooting from the hip and sometimes get some organic success from that. And
yeah,
woohoo if you do. But, you know, if we could be actually mapping that out a little bit, doing things by design, laying in a plan for growth, whatever growth looks like for your organization, then like, why not do that? The amount of clarity that one gets through planning processes is amazing, because even though you may think that you kind of know what's going on and you have a good grasp of your business, the moment you actually sit down and start to draw things out and plan, your clarity increases tremendously, because you've gone from all these jumbled, wonderful ideas in your head to, okay, here is actually a to-do list of things that I need to accomplish to reach my goals, which I know are the right goals because I've thought about it.
Yeah. Okay. Oh man, my mind's racing in a million different directions, but I'm going to try to keep this contained. So we're recording this on a Monday, and literally before this meeting, we had our team's Monday meeting. And every Monday we review our strategy for the quarter. And then at the end of the quarter, we review our strategy for the year, and it continues to go. But the when you said clarity, that's what hit me, is like, even after a week goes by, when we come back in on Monday, I realize how scattered my brain is. And that Monday morning meeting of like, wait a minute, okay, what's our plan? What are we going to do? Okay, here's what we're going to do this week. We're back on the same page. Now my week has a better chance of being set up for success by reviewing that. When you said clarity, it really resonated with me. I think that the other piece with this is that I think that if you're going to be the only one to do anything of substance in your business, you probably don't need a strategic plan. You just keep it in your head. You do the best you can, you know, and you win some, you lose some. But I feel like the second that you want to inspire and rally people around you to help you, that's when the strategic plan becomes absolutely necessary. Because without it, no one has any idea where this thing is going or what they're supposed to do. How do you help businesses start thinking about this who haven't done any kind of strategic planning before?
Yeah, so excellent point. When we think about like starting a strategic planning process for the first time, interestingly, sometimes that solopreneur needs it just as badly as a person with teeth, because they're just kind of jumping at everything and they need to be centered. But if we're kind of getting started for the first time in this, I would really recommend that you like find someone who knows what they're doing. Because anytime you start something new, you can read a book about it or listen to a podcast and kind of get a feel. But then as soon as you jump into, you're like, oh, I'm in the deep end without floaties. And I really don't know what I'm doing. So finding an expert in the facilitation of a strategic plan is really the step I would recommend. It's not necessarily a cheap endeavor. You have to be willing to invest in that process, but knowing that, you know, the return on your investment is absolutely there if you're going through it properly and really doing it well. The biggest thing in the selling point that I always say, you know, in starting is trust that you will thank yourself for having made that choice and not kind of going through it on your own. The amount of time and money and energy that I've seen business owners waste in trying to go at it alone is sad, really, when there are people who can help.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I believe it. It as you were saying that, what came to mind for me is just how biased we are. That when I don't have counsel around me to help vet my ideas and run them through the wisdom filter, it's really easy for me to think that things are really good ideas when they're not. And having a third party present, I have found can be incredibly helpful to keep me from running off the rails, because my gut doesn't always know the most important thing. At times it does. And I think that's where sometimes solopreneurs can have success by accident, because, you know, your gut can get you so far, but it's not 100% reliable. And especially when you have people around you, you need something that is documented and bigger than that. How do you guys do strategic planning with companies? Like, do you guys help them plan like a year out, 2 years out? Like, how do you go through that?
Yeah, I think recently the thought in the industry is that the days of the 5 and 10 year plans have kind of died.
Yeah,
I think
totally.
The pandemic really changed perspectives on that. But it's not to say that there's no hope for long-term planning. Long-term might just be like 3 years out at this time. When we get started in that, though, you know, the process is really about bringing together the key decision makers and leaders within the company who need to be involved in determining the direction. And so working with them, sitting down, kind of assessing again where they are today and being really honest about that, doing an internal assessment of like, okay, where are we? Looking at external factors, like what are the things that are impacting our business, whether we like it or not, we have no control, but what can we do about those things? And, you know, just looking at some of those factors and putting together, all right, well, if we know all of these things and we know that this is where we want to end up, how do we put this together and actually get it to a place where it's actionable? Unfortunately, consultants and some strategic planning, you know, consultants kind of get a bad rap for the big hairy strategic planning binder that sits on the shelf and collects dust. And that's a real shame because a lot of work goes into those.
Yeah.
And then they just sit. So, you know, our approach is really practical. Like at the end of a session or at the end of a process with us, like you've got a to-do list. You know who's doing it, you know when they're going to do it, and you know that everything on that list of objectives is helping you get closer to your goal. Would you have gotten there organically if you hadn't done that? Maybe, but would it have been as efficient and as honestly fun? Probably not.
Yeah. And I guess maybe this is where I'm going as we round out here. How does a company stay accountable to a strategic plan? I have seen, you know, some unnamed companies in our industry that they're like, yeah, we've checked the box. Like, we know exactly where we're going. But when you ask like, okay, like, does your company know? Like, are you actually on track to get there? Like, many companies, like you said, they make the plan and it goes in the binder and it sits on the shelf. And they feel really good about themselves that we made a plan one time. But how do you actually stay accountable towards that strategic plan?
Companies are so dependent on the success of their people. Right? No business, no LLC is going to go out and do the strategic stuff. The people in the company are the ones actually doing the things. And so, you know, part of the strategic planning process is rallying the team around the vision for the company. And so, you know, depending on who's involved in the process itself, that might include a rollout, you know, communication to the rest of the folks within the organization of, hey, this is where we're going and here's how you can help. And that in and of itself helps with accountability, just knowing that more people know. But at the end of the day, oftentimes the work here is with owners, like one to two people who are kind of in charge of the whole deal. And for them, there's so much self-discipline that's required. That's just a fact. Like, welcome to business, right? You've got to be able to buckle up your bootstraps and get to work. But, you know, having a support system, a leadership team around you, even an outside source, like a consultant who can provide ongoing implementation support or advisory help, mentors in the business are a great option for accountability. But you know, it really does come down to you just being willing to get at it.
Yeah. You know, as you say that, like the only way that I can stay accountable to our strategic plan is to have it in front of the team on Monday morning. Because otherwise, otherwise I'll ignore it. I got a million things to do. And if it wasn't public and the standing point of our meeting, I would ignore it because I'd be chasing, you know, some other shiny thing that runs by. Because as business owners, you know, we're always looking for opportunity and always chasing things. So I think that there is something to that public accountability. And if your company is really small, like you said, you know, that can be with your consultant or that can be with your friend that helps you put the strategic plan together. Like, but having someone else so that it's not just you alone. I think that goes back to your point earlier, Heather, that when you're alone on your business journey, man, I think that it's a really hard road and the odds of success are overwhelmingly against you. But it's by bringing people around you, you know, whether they're paid or not paid, you probably need a combination of both, but bringing people around you to help you carry the load and help keep you accountable is really where success is.
Mm-hmm. And that holds you accountable too, to working on the business and not just in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Heather, you guys do a ton of work with businesses. And I'm curious if someone's listening to this and they're like, man, okay, I need help with this. Like I need coaching. I need someone to walk me through reflection so that I can become the leader my company needs. We've been running around like chickens with our heads cut off. We need to get accountable to a strategic plan. Where can people get in touch with you and the work that you're doing?
Yeah, that's awesome. I would say visiting our website is a great place to start. It's HockenberryConsultants.com. It's an excellent place to get started, get to know who we are and what we do a little bit better. But I would say, don't feel pressure to know what you need before you reach out. That's partly our job, is to help figure out, you know, what your situation is and a plan, right? Help you come up with the plan. Some people feel pressure to like know exactly what they need to ask for before they reach out to us. And that's unfair to you, right? So just reach out. We'll be happy to help and talk through your situation a little bit and see what might be a great next step for you.
Perfect. Well, I'll make sure to link to that in the show notes for anyone who's listening. And yeah, I mean, honestly, like just booking that call and talking with a professional who works with other businesses and can ask questions, I think that even if that's all it is, like you will get so much from that. I know that I have in the past. So yeah, Heather, thanks for being here. This is a great conversation. I think it's going to give people a lot of value.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tim. It was great to talk with you.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation with Heather Hockenberry. I think that there is a lot of value to be had there. As we round out, I want to circle back to what Heather said towards the end of the conversation as we talked about a strategic plan for your business. And it's so simple that, you know, in the same way that when you go on vacation with your family, you make a plan, you should do the same thing in your business. Oftentimes, as business owners and managers and leaders, we get so stuck in the whirlwind of the day-to-day that we get these blinders on. And we don't think about or communicate anything that's going on around us because we're so solely focused on this immediate object that's in front. And I know that we've talked about this a lot on this podcast, but I believe the single starting point for businesses in our industry is a defined set of core values, a company mission, and then a set of goals and objectives for your business. Now, what that looks like for us is we have 5 long-term priorities for our business. We actually don't call them goals. We call them priorities because some of them may never be accomplished. But for these goals and priorities, we lay out our objectives quarter by quarter for the better part of the next 2 to 3 years. So we have an idea every single quarter of what needs to be done to accomplish these goals and priorities. Now, making a plan like this in no way guarantees the success of it. But what it does is it gives us a mark to shoot for. It tells us, hey, on the family vacation, we're trying to go here. So now we understand whether we're closer, whether we're further away, and where we're off course so that we can correct ourselves to get back on track. And that example that Heather gave of the family vacation is absolutely spot on. When she talked about the idea as well of be, do, have, I mean, there is something that is so profound in this. I've actually heard Tim Rethlake talk about this a ton over the last 10 years. And I know that he has gotten this from Dr. Stephen Covey and his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which if you've not read or listened to, I mean, stop everything right now and go get that book. I'm going through it right now as we speak for the second time with a small cohort group that I'm a part of, and it is incredible. If you are looking for tools to help you achieve a personal transformation, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is an incredible place to start. Now, okay, when we think about be, do, have, this is really important. Many people think about what they want to have first, and then they try to do things to have that. Instead, we first need to think about, who do I need to be? What's the kind of person I need to become in order to achieve this? Now, once I've become this kind of person, what do I need to do to get the thing that I want to have? It doesn't start with have and then do. It starts with be. Who do I need to become? If you want to have people in your business that run it effectively when you're gone, well, it's not about trying to do something first. Who do you need to become? Who is the kind of person you need to be that has people underneath them that continue to do the work when they're gone? You probably need to become the kind of person who is gracious, who is generous, who is inspiring, and who is principled. Now, if you have become that kind of person, now there are some things you can do to have those things that you want. You can set clear expectations. You can provide training and mentorship. You can offer tools to help them. But it starts with be. Often we want to jump to do. What can I do to have this thing I want? It doesn't start there. It starts with be. It's the personal inner transformation that leads to the outward action, which then results in achieving the thing that you want to have. You know, Heather said that your business will either run by design or by default. It's going to happen one of the two. It is so much better if it runs by design. So I hope you guys got a lot of value out of that conversation. I think that there are some incredible pieces of wisdom to glean from that. Well, hey, if this podcast today was a blessing for you and you want to support it financially, you can do that by going to the website patreon.com/itsfiretime. That's patreon.com/itsfiretime. And as you go out today and you go back to the chaos of the week, I want you to think about that concept of be. What kind of person do you need to become to achieve the things that you want to achieve? At the end of the day, we're the surfer, not the wave. And some of the only things that we can control are what happens inside of our minds and inside of our hearts. And that's the place to start. When we become the kind of person that is principled, that is patient, that is generous, and that is thoughtful, it's amazing how that leads us to do things and result in us having the achievements that we want. This conversation with Heather is all about intentionality. Your business will either run by design or by default. And my hope is that this conversation today gives you some tools for your business to run by design. Hope you guys have an amazing week. Thank you for listening to the Firetime Podcast. To learn more, visit the website itsfiretime.com. Music from this episode was written and recorded by In Bloom out of Portland, Oregon. We thank you for listening to the Firetime Podcast, where it's never hot enough, slow is fast, and the way to win is to make it so stupidly easy to buy from you that there's no excuse not to. We'll see you next time. All in to burn.